planting chapel. About 20 years ago, in 1975, Southeastern Seminary and the Home Mission Board got together and said, we need to plant more churches in our nation. And six Southeastern Seminary students in the summer of 75 went up to New York City under appointment by the Home Mission Board and spent the summer planting churches. God honored that ministry and mission. Home Mission Board came back and Southeastern Seminary came back after that experience and said, all the seminaries ought to do this. And the next summer, all six Baptist seminaries began to participate in what's now being called Praxis, church planting in this nation of ours. And so for about 21 years now, Southeastern has been sending students all across the USA in the summer for about 10 weeks to plant churches. Or we have been up in Boston. We've been in Toronto, Canada, outside the nation. We've covered it down the western coast from Seattle through Portland to San Francisco. We've come through the cornfields of Nebraska and Kansas. We've been up to the high-rise apartments in Chicago. We've been to the inner cities and ghettos of Washington, D.C., down through the Bible Belt of Atlanta and Columbia, Miami, Raleigh, Asheville, Wilmington. Southeastern Seminary students in these years have been in about 30 states. We go out two by two each summer under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, commissioned by His word to us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to go out as Paul has said, I plant, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase. And so this morning we welcome you in that spirit and in that history of our seminary and in what the Lord has been doing through us for 21 summers in planting churches across this nation of ours. Oh, I wish I could recount all the experiences that we have gone through. We've started churches in Portland, Oregon in a funeral home. Two young ladies, Southeasterners, went out to Portland one summer and said, where can we start a church? And the funeral director said, you can start one in the funeral home. And we did. That's not anything bad of starting a church there. Or we have started churches in little town halls. We've started churches in schools. We've started churches in parks. We have had many, many wonderful and inspiring experiences. And so today we come back from last summer to briefly report to you. I'm very pleased that today I can tell you that Paul and Cindy worked in New Jersey, and Shelley and Carol worked in Virginia, and Jonathan and Doreen worked in New York, and Joe and Dot worked in Georgia, and Adam and Clay worked in Nevada this past summer. You will hear only just a little of what we would like to share with you this morning. I wish each one could stand up here and tell you something of what they experienced in planting God's church throughout our nation. I'm very pleased then to have these church planters return and share with you. I'm also pleased that Myra Goings is going to sing a solo for us. Sam and Myra Goings and their children last summer were church planters. They were Praxis people in Williamsburg, Virginia. They came back after last summer and, working with the Home Mission Board, felt called to go back to Williamsburg. And so now they have moved to Williamsburg, where they are in that church planting ministry from last summer. And Sam will finish in December. And she is here today to sing for us. So we're tying together last summer's church praxis of 94 and this summer's church praxis of 95. So Myra, will you come and sing for us? Jonathan and Doreen served in New York City. Doreen became pregnant while they were there.
No, before.
Before.
Just before.
But we learned it on our seminar up that way, and we had a lot of blessings, and so we remember them in these days of transition. Jonathan is going to speak to us briefly about his own experience in New York City.
Thank you. I want to start by just giving God all the honor and praise for what he did in New York City this summer. And I want you to think this morning ahead about what you're going to do when you leave Southeastern. And maybe it's going to be years away. Maybe this is your first year here, or maybe it's coming up real soon. But I want you to just to pause for a minute and think about what you're going to do. And maybe you're thinking about what you want to do when you leave. But I also want you to think about what you'll do if God asks you to go somewhere you don't want to go, or if he asks you to do something that you don't really want to do. And I have to confess to you, when I started looking at the Praxis program, and it sounded interesting to me, but my first choice for Doreen and I wasn't New York City. And there's something you should know. I grew up in upstate New York, and my wife grew up in Long Island. But we'd lived in Virginia. I've lived there for about 10 years. And we really wanted to go back to Virginia this past summer and serve. So when the Home Mission Board sent a representative around from New York, we didn't interview there. But we did interview with the one from Virginia, and I thought it went pretty well, and we applied that way, in that direction. And I remember I called home one day, and Doreen had got the mail, and the letter was there from the Home Mission Board, and it said, "Congratulations, you've been accepted into the Praxis program." And then she paused, and I said, "Where are we going?" And she said, "It says Queens, New York City on it." She just kind of read it about three or four times in disbelief, and saying, "Why are we going here?" But you know, God had a plan and a purpose for us going to New York City. And we went up there, and I realized when we were going and why we were there, a lot of people have this view of New York City that I think they lump it along with Sodom and Gomorrah or something like that. And they really just are not willing to go there to work. And it's evident in the few people we met there that were working for the Southern Baptists. We went to Queens, and New York City, just to give you some idea of its size, has 21 million people. Raleigh has about 200,000. And Queens has a little borough. There's five boroughs in New York City. Queens has 2 million people there. And I asked the director of missions for the city's Baptist Association how many English-speaking churches that they've got going in Queens. And he said, out of Queens, 2 million people, we've started 2, about 30 people in each of them. And this man who was a pastor of one of these churches, he'd get up in the morning and jump on a subway and go over to Manhattan and preach at a church who didn't have a pastor, and then come back and preach at his own church. And most everyone I met there, either they'd never had any formal Bible training and were pastors, or they just had never, they had more than one church that they had to speak at, because there's such a shortage of workers up there. And it really spoke to my heart and touched my heart. But the second thing that really shocked me was people's hunger for the message. And I don't know why that should have shocked me, because growing up there, I realized the need there is for churches that are sound in doctrine and preach the gospel. And my wife didn't have the fortune a lot of us have had in growing up in a Christian home, and she never even heard why Jesus died on a cross until she was 20 years old. And even though she was always interested, and God created in her a desire in her heart to know him, and she said she had a Bible when she was little and used to carry it around with her everywhere and would try to get people to sign her up for Sunday school and things, she said that just there was no one around her who ever shared the gospel. And so it wasn't until later on in college that she first time heard the message. But when we went up there, we started working, and we went to this neighborhood called Astoria. And Astoria is a little Greek neighborhood in Queens that has about 180,000 people. And the interesting thing was that my wife's grandmother and grandfather were right from that neighborhood. They lived there and got married there, and that's where her father had grown up. And so it's kind of remarkable how God works and sent her back right to a culture that she was familiar with. And I saw God use that over and over again all summer long as she shared with people and talked with people. We did several things while we were there to start a church. We started a Bible study group in our home. We had all kinds of methods of outreach. I tried things. I read books on it and church planning and all these ideas, and tried programs. We did flyers. We did phone surveys. One problem we had with doing door-to-door was there was apartment buildings all the way down the block, and so there was hundreds and thousands of people right there, but you know, you weren't allowed in the building. And so we did a lot of phone surveys. And all these methods of evangelism, God showed me one day that he was going to provide the people that he wanted us. And we were sitting in a restaurant during a meeting, and one of the waiters came over and he saw a book we had on urban ministry on the table, and he said, "I'm a Christian. I've just moved here from Albania." And God brought people into our path to help us do the work there. And so we've got a Bible study group going. A lot of it we did through children's clubs. We had a chance to share the gospel with these kids and their parents, who a lot of times would be there with them in parks in the neighborhood and over again. But I wanted to share with you just briefly about two experiences that happened to us. One was at a Bible study group we were hosting in our apartment. And during that time, we'd done phone calls and phone surveys, and one couple that didn't hang up on us had talked to us. And I asked her, the lady, later on, I said, how come, you know, when I called, what made you listen and answer the questions and things? She said, well, I really heard your southern drawl, and says, we bought furniture from these people that sold off our truck from Hickory, and we needed some end tables. And so that's the real reason I didn't hang up on you. But she was willing to come to the Bible study, and when we were witnessing through this process, we did an evangelistic Bible study. And during that Bible study, her husband came up to me afterwards one time, and it was on a rich young ruler. And he said, you know, my whole life I've grown up in a church that's really into liturgy and things, but he said, I've never studied the Bible before. And as we studied the rich young ruler, he said, you know, I realized something. There's more to it than just keeping the Ten Commandments. And I started sharing with him the gospel, and that was the first chance I had. And we built a relationship, because one thing we found was that people would make professions of faith on the street corners, but it was hard to get them into church. And we had met a lot of people who had made professions of faith, and we tried different things. We'd invite them to church and things, and they wouldn't follow through. But the people this summer we made relationships with and accepted the Lord are still being faithful to the Lord now. And this man, another time, I was sharing the gospel with him again, and I went through all the CWT illustrations and the EE illustrations with him and was presenting it to him. And he was just kind of listening. He really wasn't answering the questions that much. He was kind of avoiding them. But I gave him a track, and he came back the following week, and he was real quiet. And after the program, or after the Bible study, I said, Joey, you're kind of quiet tonight. He says, can I talk to you? And we went back into the apartment, into my bedroom, and he sat there, and he said, you know, I've just been reading this track over and over again. He says, and I keep getting to James 2:19 and reading that believing in God is not enough, that even the demons do that. And he said, and I realize I've never put my faith and trust into Jesus. So I sat here, and he says, and I was reading this the other day at work, and I've read it about 20 times, and I prayed this prayer, and I want to tell you and want to know what I should do now. And I was so thankful. We sit there, and we prayed together, and I asked him to make it public. And he came to church that Sunday, and in front of the whole church, came and made his decision public. And when after he'd done that, we got ready to go. He agreed to host the Bible study in his house. And what we don't realize is what some people have to do to serve the Lord, because his family is very upset. To become a Baptist, or what they call a born again, is a very negative connotation, and they were adamantly opposed to it. And you know, and he told them that I never believed in God, and you wouldn't argue with me. You never gave me a hard time, but now that I do, you know, you're upset. And people on the sidewalk, you know, they'd say, you know what they're doing in that house? They're having a Bible study. It's a total different culture, and it's something that's totally different to them. But God was faithful. But the thing that really touched my heart, and Doreen's heart especially, was what happened on a more personal basis. You see, next year we're in a church planning program, and we plan on taking that child to another country. And that's hard for her parents to understand. And this summer we had a chance to visit them. She grew up, it was only about 45 minutes from where we were. And I sat down, and with her mom I was sharing the gospel. And as we went through the gospel and I explained it to her many different ways and many different times, just kept going over it with her. And I went over some tracks with her, and I left the tracks with her. And driving home back to the city, I told Doreen, I said, well, you know, she probably thinks we're crazy. And I really just got the impression that she took the tracks to be polite. And Doreen says, you know, I've really struggled with it so many times. I've wondered if I've said enough, have I shared enough. You know, I just feel like sometimes she shared with her mom and she wasn't receptive to it. And she says, I always wonder if I said enough. And Wednesday night, her mom called up during a Bible study, and we couldn't talk to her right then. And we asked her to call back. And a little while later, she called back again. And we were still in the Bible study. And She called back a third time. You see, she had a burning question in her heart. She had something she wanted to know about. And she called and she began talking with Doreen on the phone, and she started asking questions about our faith and what we believe. And she never asked before. It had never one time been willing or open. And she sat there and shared, and Doreen told me, and I got on my knees and started praying. And there over the phone, Doreen let her mom say, "Lord." And I can't tell you how much that means to her and how much that means to me. And the thing that's real scary is how we almost didn't go. How we were questioning, "Why, God, are you sending us to New York City?" And so I'd ask you, if God calls you to go somewhere you may feel you're not called to go, may call you to serve someplace that seems different or unusual to you, like New York City or anywhere in New England. I just hope that you'll be obedient.
Thank you, Jonathan. Paul and Cindy with their children served in New Jersey this summer.
I'm very thankful to be able to share with you this morning. Last year, about this time, when I was in Chapel City where you were, I had no idea that God would call me to church planting. As a matter of fact, I felt no way could I do something like church planting. I was right. I can't do church planting, but God can. And I want to tell you about that this morning. How we ended up in New Jersey is a kind of an interesting story. I'm still questioning Dr. Braswell's theology. When I took Dr. Idle's course on church planting, we studied the Pauline cycle, and the Pauline cycle and how you apply that to church planting. I'm still trying to figure out Dr. Braswell's theology of church planting. His approach is, he's a baseball fan, and he has a great desire to visit all the baseball stadiums across the country. So he chose to put us in South Jersey, 15 minutes from the Philadelphia Phillies Stadium. So that's how we ended up in New Jersey. So if you do elect to do church planting, be prepared to be placed near a baseball stadium. But God called us to New Jersey. There's no question about that. How I know that God called us to New Jersey is when we arrived, we had no place to stay. The guy that we were working for, the director of missions, could not find us a place. But right at the last minute, he found us an apartment at a multi-housing complex of over 1,500 people. When we met the leasing agent said, "I understand you're a minister." And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Well, your boss has told me that you're here to plant a church in Mullica Hill." And I said, "Yes, that's what we're here for." And she said, "Well, we have need here at the apartment complex." And I said, "Well, tell me about it." And she said they had a lot of problems with drugs and violence. And she said, "If you'd like to start a Bible study, you're welcome to use our facility." They had a beautiful clubhouse. And she said to me, she said, "We always charge a fee of $100, a rental fee of $100. And she said, "But I'll give it to you for free." 10 minutes into the conversation with the leasing agent, she was offering us an opportunity to start a Bible study. I know many of you probably have gone through experiencing God, and we're told to go where God is working. Well, God was working there before we even got there. So we took her up on her offer, and we said we surely will. We found out that they had a newsletter going out to over 1,500 people the next day. So we got busy, and we drew up a flyer, and we invited over 1,500 people to our Bible study. And I was real excited. I felt that we would have a great turnout. Well, when we had our first Bible study, we had two people that showed up. Two people in great need. Before we left, we had two churches praying for us and a lot of friends. We had a specific prayer asking God to grant us a Bible study in 2 weeks. The church planting practice program is a 10-week program. How in the world do you start a church in 10 weeks? Well, we prayed and God answered our prayer. We had that Bible study exactly 2 weeks to the day. From that Bible study, the Bible study grew to 3 to 4, and then it dropped back down to 2 people. Eventually, it went up again to about 5 people, and we continued with this Bible study. Bear in mind, our original purpose in New Jersey was to start a church in Mullica Hill, which was about 20 minutes from this apartment complex. But God was working at the apartment complex, this multi-housing complex, and that's where we focused our effort, because God was working there. When things really started to happen, took place after June 26th. And I want to share a personal testimony with you. June 24th and 25th, when I was in New Jersey, I spent the better part of 2 days in prayer. I remember being in a chapel service where Dr. Carson preached a message entitled, "My Will, Your Life." And his message was dealing with total surrender. And I share this with you because though we were in New Jersey, though God was working, I was not completely sold out and surrendered to God. I believe when you're saved, you have to make Jesus Lord. I did that 8 years ago, but I still had sin in my life. I was not totally surrendered and fully committed to Christ. After 2 days of prayer and listening to Dr. Carson's message over and over and over again, where Jesus was in the garden and Jesus surrendered, he was so surrendered to God, I was so convicted of sin in my life, I said, "I'm tired of being tired. I have to give you everything." And so I repented of persistent sin in my life and gave God everything and totally surrendered to him. After that, the Bible study started to increase. After that, my 7-year-old Connie got saved. After that, we had 9 people get saved. After that, I had opportunity to preach. I had told the director of missions I wanted to preach. Schedule me opportunities to preach. There were none until after those 2 days of spending time in prayer and repenting of sin. At the end of 10 weeks, our Bible study had grown to 50 people. 50 people. God did that. We had our first worship service before we came home. And I share that with you just to testify to what God did after I came to a place in my life of totally surrendering to him. And as John was saying, there's tremendous need in the north. There's a great need. It's so exciting to start a Bible study and to see God grow it of unchurched people. We're in the Bible Belt. People have an idea of what church is and what church is like. But the further you go up north, we just ran into so many people that had never been in church. And I could tell a number of stories about people that we met and had opportunities to speak with. But to end my testimony and sharing with you this morning, I ask you, as I was in chapel about this time last year, I really felt that God would never call me to church planting. But after taking a church planting course and spending time in prayer and asking God, you know, where are you sending me? What do you want me to do? I ask you to pray about church planting. Ask God if that's something that he would have you to do. There's a tremendous need for planting churches. God does call preachers to go into traditional Baptist churches that have been in existence forever. God does call people to that. But I'm a firm believer after this summer that we need to start new churches, get people saved, and start them out to be a genuine New Testament church. Start them out right. And just to conclude, I just want to share that there's great truth in what Myra is saying. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation for everyone who will believe, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. Thank you.
I thank God for each church planter and their families. I'm appreciative to Myra Goins to come back from the field and be in worship with us and lead us in worship. I want to invite you to meet these church planters, to speak with them, to pray with them, to learn with them, and to help us all understand and to be ready that if God calls us anywhere in this nation to preach the gospel and to plant the church, we'll be ready. I remember the day long ago as a pastor when I sang the hymn, "Wherever he leads, I'll go." At that point, I didn't realize he would lead me to the country of Iran, but God led my family to Iran, and there we went. He's been leading Southeastern Seminary for 21 years in church planting. May you pray about it. May you support it. And with his help, and with our prayers, and with our commitment, we shall go out into this nation, and we shall go out into the world to proclaim his name and to build his church. Come down and speak with these as we conclude. Let us have a benediction. Now, Father, we're grateful for this day, for every blessing to us, your mercy and grace in us, in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You have opened our eyes unto the fields, white unto harvest. May we hear your call, and may we go. May you guide our thoughts and our feet. But most especially, may your Holy Spirit guide our heart to feel for the world in which we live and to respond to it as your ministers and as your missionaries. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.